Political boycotts have a long history in the United States, and so does the U.S. alliance with Israel. Both of those issues are at stake in a federal lawsuit here in Arizona over how far the state can go to stop a boycott of one of the U.S.'s top allies. KJZZ's Will Stone reports.
Mick Jordahl never expected his views on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to come up in his day job. After all, he gives legal advice to inmates in Arizona.
No, it has nothing to do with any of the contracts that I've signed.
But then several years ago, Arizona passed a law prohibiting state and local governments from doing business with anyone boycotting Israel. That put Jordahl in a difficult situation. His parents lived in the West Bank during the 70s, and ever since college, he's advocated for Palestinian rights.
My main focus is on boycotting the companies that are profiting from the occupation on the West Bank.
For example, Jordahl doesn't want his law firm to buy Hewlett-Packard office equipment because the company provides technical support to Israeli security. But he says the Arizona law gives him no choice.
Basically, signing a political litmus test for a government contract is a violation of the Constitution. And I just felt like I had to put my foot down.
So when his contract with the county jail came up for renewal, instead of signing, he sued the state with the help of the American Civil Liberties Union, arguing the law infringed on his free speech.
It is like a loyalty oath. It's like asking someone to say that they are not a member of the Communist Party.
That's ACLU attorney Kathy Brody.
Our Supreme Court has recognized that political boycotts are a form of protected speech.
She says that goes back to a landmark 1982 civil rights case. The Supreme Court ruled the NAACP's boycott of white-owned businesses in the South was a protected form of expression that sought to bring about political, economic, and social change. So, too, her client's boycott, Brody says.
This law in Arizona is part of a nationwide assault on the First Amendment. I don't think any of us wants the government to tell us that we are or are not allowed to speak out on a certain issue.
That in part has centered on one particularly prominent pro-Palestinian movement known as Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS. In recent years, about 24 states, Republican and Democrat, have passed laws or executive orders to stymie the BDS movement. Arizona's law sailed through the legislature with broad support.
There's been a concerted effort to shut off Israel economically, culturally, from the rest of the world.
Mark Stern represents the American Jewish Committee, which has lobbied for anti-BDS laws like Arizona's. He says Jordahl can boycott Israel in his personal life, but the state doesn't have to hire him.
You don't have a right to come to us and say, I'm going to offer you services, but I'm going to constrict the market because I'm boycotting Israel. The state can say, okay, fine, but not on our dime.
That's the argument coming from the Arizona Attorney General's office, which is defending the law. Drew Ensign, who's representing the state, says Arizona has the authority to regulate its economic activity, especially with a key trading partner like Israel. And the law, in fact, aims to prevent discrimination on the basis of national origin.
Anti-discrimination laws have been widely and almost uniformly upheld against First Amendment challenges. Prohibiting discrimination is one of the highest interests of any government.
This all depends on whether Jordahl's boycott even qualifies as a boycott. The state argues it doesn't because he refuses to buy some Israeli goods and not others. It wants the case dismissed, arguing the law only applies to broad organized boycotts. Attorney David Schraub, who teaches at UC Berkeley, says that's a surprising concession.
The state is taking a very, very narrow interpretation of its own law, and one that I think is in some ways outside the mainstream of what a lot of people consider these laws to do.
Schraub says many of these laws were passed quickly and for ideological reasons. Now they're being tested.
The laws that maybe are written in a particular way, but they're being applied in another way. And that sloppiness is particularly dangerous in the First Amendment context.
It's now up to the courts to decide how those laws can be applied and when, if at all, they undermine free speech. Will Stone, KJZZ News, Phoenix.